Well, good morning. It's so good to see so many out with us for the first Sunday of 2019. Good way to start off the year. So glad you've come and be with us, and we will study our Bibles together this morning. I do want to make a few corrections, need to make that. Last week in the Sunday morning sermon, I mentioned there were 14 new members since the first of the year. That number was 12, not 14. So let me start with correcting that. Secondly, there are two errors in the bulletin. Didn't catch them till this morning. The first is the attendance numbers on the back are from the week before that. I forgot to switch them out. Secondly, in the bulletin, when it talks about going through and listing all the members, I failed to put in the words without looking at the directory. So those are the few corrections I need to make in the bulletin. Back in November, we started with the question, how well do you sing? And then in December on the first Sunday, we looked at how well do you listen? Well, this morning we're doing how well do you read? As another lesson along those lines of a spiritual wellness checkup. Several occasions we find Jesus making statements about how well do you read, or have you not read, or he who has ears, let him hear. In what Brother Burt read for us, in verse 3, he tells the Pharisees, have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions, referring them back to the time period of David and also to the time period of the priest in which they broke the Sabbath, as the Pharisees are accusing Jesus and his disciples of doing, but yet were not contrary to the word of God, were not found to be in blame. He uses this phrase, have you not read, many times to point out their ignorance. These are holy scriptures they ought to know. These are lessons they ought to know, and they're not applying them and using them. He says it in Matthew chapter 19 in regards to the occasion on divorce. He uses it in chapter 21 to talk about the children. He uses it again in chapter 21 to regard the prophecy about the chief cornerstone. He uses it in chapter 22 to respond to the Sadducees about their question of the resurrection. He uses this phrase, have you not read, many times. And it suggests that a major failing has occurred by the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and that likely today by Christians. Would it be able to be said of us, have you not read? I've told y'all about the husky picture before that some of my friends have of me. I sent Brandon the photo yesterday. It's a face of a weird husky. Like, really? Did you really just ask that? I used to send it to just about anyone in the state when they would respond to my email with a question that was in the email. Did you not read the email? Really? The answer was right there. How many times can that be said of us? How many times do we not listen to a message or read a message and respond without reading, or ask a question without reading? How many times do we approach the Bible in a similar light? Have we not read the scriptures? Have we not done what we're supposed to? Let me start out by pointing out there's a lot of different types of readers. There are those who sadly never read. They never spend time in the Bible. They never spend time in the Word of God. That includes most people in our world, and sadly even some Christians today. They just do not take time to become biblically literate. They are illiterate. And that's a bad thing, especially for a Christian to be. There are those who read sparingly. They possess the Bible, but read only a passage here or there. And this includes most people who have Bibles. You know, the Bible is still considered the world's number one bestseller, but it is often the least read book in the world. Now tell me how that can coincide together. There are those who read selectively. They read only certain parts of the Bible. For example, maybe they read the Psalms, because the Psalms have a lot of encouragement in it. And they might read the Gospels to know more about Jesus, but they don't read anything else. Some people read only to soothe their conscience or to calm their troubled heart. There are those who read defensively. I would put my dad into that category before he became a Christian. I remember he talks about when he was converted, he went to a gospel meeting and the preacher said something, and he said, "Preacher, I'm going to prove you wrong." And so he had to go to Walmart to buy a Bible because, of course, he didn't own one, even though he was going to prove him wrong. And once he read it, he was proven wrong himself. But there are so many that read the Bible with the intent of they're going to prove somebody wrong. Well, this passage over here says this, preacher, so you're wrong. We should not ever read to prove our positions, but to improve our relationship with God. Then there are those who read regularly. They read to learn, they read to understand, they read to obey. And there's a few people we find in the Bible that resemble this. The Ethiopian eunuch would be one. The Bereans would be one that we find over in Acts chapter 17. These are people who are reading such, they are dedicating themselves that they might understand the Word of God more fully. And so what I want to do for the time we have this morning, I want to look at what the importance is of being a good Bible reader. What importance is there in paying attention to the Bible and understanding it? And then how can we better ourselves? How can we take more steps to be better readers? So the importance of good reading, Psalmist puts it best in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, when he talks about, blessed is the man of God, and he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, nor stand in the scoffer's land, but his delight is in the Lord. He meditates in His Word both day and night. Psalm 1, verse 3. The one who spends time in the Word of God is blessed for doing such. He understands more. He is able to be blessed by God because God's Word reveals all the mysteries. In Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 3, you have a similar idea of the one who reads God's Word is blessed by his reading. Also, it's important to be a good reader, though, that we might be challenged. I don't think it's ever a fun life if your beliefs don't get challenged in life. Because if your beliefs never get challenged, then you're just going on blindly. Challenges are good for us in that they can prove or disprove what we believe and can encourage us or take us away from what we might hold to. We can be challenged by that which is living and powerful, a discerner of thoughts and hearts, as the Hebrew writer talks about in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 12. We can be challenged by words that John describes, or Jesus describes over in John chapter 6 and verse 63, that are spirit and life. We can be challenged by that which effectively works in those who believe, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 13. And we can be challenged by which can cause one to be born again, as Peter will allude to in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. We can be challenged by the Word of God. If you want your faith tested in any way, let it be tested by the Bible. Can we say our faith measures up to the standard of the Bible? Have we let it be challenged? You know, it's funny, sometimes we'll say, well, I believe that, but I don't know why I believe that. Ever heard that before? Sad thing is, a lot of you may be thinking you've heard it from someone in denominations. I've heard it from a lot of my own brethren. I believe in such and such. Well, why? I don't know. Our faith must be challenged by the Bible. It must be proven by the Bible. Because the reality is, the importance of good reading is that we might be better understanders of the Word of God. That we might better understand God's Word. Over in Proverbs chapter 1, turn over there with me. Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to read the first 7 verses of the proverb. Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to give to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise are their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. We gain understanding first and foremost in the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of all wisdom. The Bible teaches us about who God is. He teaches us about what He does. And He teaches us about how He will repay those who do not obey His will, and how He will reward those who do. We gain understanding, though, also, as Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 and 5, about the mystery that is Christ, that we might understand who Christ was and what He did for us. We gain understanding, as he talks to Timothy about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, about the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. We get understanding, as he talks about to Timothy in the next few verses, 16 and 17, about what the will of God is. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, how can we expect to be good Christians if we don't spend time in the Word of God? How can we expect to follow God's will if we don't open our Bibles and understand His will? How can we expect to bring someone to Christ if we ourselves can't explain what the mystery of Christ is? How He came to this earth, how He died for us, how He lived, how He was resurrected, and how He reigns in heaven now. How can we expect to understand the salvation of Christ Jesus if we don't open our Bibles and read? People every day are looking for the meaning of life. People every day are looking for how to live their life. And they'll look everywhere but the Word of God. The Word of God is where we gain all our understanding that we need to live this life. It teaches us about people who walk before us, that we might not make the same mistakes that they did, and that we might learn from them and grow. It teaches us about how to be as a family, as the people of God. It teaches us about how to serve God. It gives us strength and encouragement. It gives us everything we ever need, if we'll only strive to understand it. And along those lines, then, the importance of good reading is that we might grow in hope. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, when Paul is talking about the Holy Scriptures, that being what we would call today the Old Testament, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, you might have hope. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 13, Peter will talk about, we learn about the grace that is yet to come, looking forward to it, if you will. One of the greatest blessings about our spiritual family, one of the greatest blessings about it, is it is a small taste of what is to come. When we spend time with each other and in each other's company, when we share in hospitality with one another and in fellowship with one another, it's like a little piece of chocolate that'll sustain you for a little while. The Word of God is the same. It is something that will sustain us and keep our hope alive until we reach heaven. These are just a few of the many benefits of God's Word and the importance of being good readers. So let's talk about some steps to improving our reading. First of all, let me suggest, as Paul instructs Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 13, give much attention to reading. One of the translations says it that way. Give much attention to reading. We need to be regular readers of the Bible. A new year has begun. How many times can we read through the Bible in this new year? How many times can we read through 1st and 2nd Peter as we study it on Wednesday nights? How many times can we read through Exodus and Leviticus as we study it on Sunday mornings? And then as the quarters go on and our classes change, how many times can we read through those books and become more and more familiar with them? How many times will we spend this year How many minutes will we devote each day to reading God's Word? Sometimes just a chapter a day, a few verses a day. Read the Bible as it was written, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Don't skip around. And what I mean by skip around is, we were talking about, there are some programs that I like where they have you reading in different parts of the Bible each day. And then in the full year you've read the whole Bible. But don't make it where I'm going to read Proverbs 1, 2, 3, 4, and then I'm not going to touch the rest of Proverbs. That's selective reading. Be reading through the entire book. Be reading through the entire Bible. And as much as the genealogies can bog you down in Genesis, Exodus, and on over in 1st and 2nd Chronicles and the Kings and all that, read through them. Sometimes you'll pick up some amazing things. You read through Matthew chapter 1 and people say, Matthew chapter 1, there's just a little bit at the end about Jesus being born. There's a lot in that genealogy. There's four women named who you would not believe would be named in a Jewish genealogy, that are called by name by Matthew in his writing of Jesus' genealogy. So don't just skip over them. Spend some time with it. Secondly, though, as the psalmist talks about in Psalm 119, in verses 10 and in verse 18, read devotionally. The psalmist is talking about in those verses, reading and praying along with it. Begin and end with the prayer. Before you sit down to read, pray to God, thank Him for the day you have, thank Him for the time you have, thank Him for His Word, and help Him to ask Him to help you better understand His Word. Then read through His Word, and then pray to Him again, thanking Him for the time you've had to be able to spend time in His Word, how you might better know Him, how you might better understand Him, how you might better understand His will, how you might be able to encourage one another, how the Word has brought you encouragement. Remember that we have over 40 authors in the Bible, but the one author is God. It was God's plan. It's one theme throughout all 66 books. And that was designed by God. Read for your personal benefit. Don't read to prove others wrong. Don't go home today and say, I'm going to prove Caleb wrong from something he said, and just read for it. If I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. But don't set out that that's your purpose. Don't set out that that's ever your purpose. I'm going to prove this Baptist preacher wrong. You go into it with an attitude like that, you're going to leave it with an attitude like that, and you will have gained nothing. Read for personal benefit. Read to better understand the Bible. Read in order that you might grow. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as dear babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Use the Word of God to grow. Thirdly, as it's talked about in Ezra chapter 7 and in verse 10, read with intent. Sometimes we go into things and we aimlessly go into them. We aimlessly sit down and start reading. You know what happens when we aimlessly sit down and start reading? We've accomplished not a lot of anything. You go into it with an intent. And what I mean is, you're going into an intent that I'm going to learn something. I'm going to be convicted to do something. I'm going to be convicted to teach someone else. I'm going to be convicted to change my life. I'm going to be intent on that this might challenge my faith, and that I'll either reject what I already know and believe, or I will confirm what I already know and believe. Read with an intent. As James talks about in James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, to not only be a doer of, not only be a hearer of the Word, but a doer as well. How many times do we read something and we understand it and it convicts us, and then we do absolutely nothing? How many articles do we read about health and things we ought to change in our lives to better our health? And we go, wow, I really need to change that. I need to stop eating this, or I need to start eating this, or I need to stop using these products or start using these. And then when we go to the supermarket, we buy the same thing we've always bought. Because we've listened to it, we've heard it, but we've not applied it. So read with intent. We should read to learn what God wants us to do and how to live each and every day. Fourthly, read and mark your Bibles. Use highlighters. Use fine pens. Use pencils. Mark key phrases. Mark passages. Mark something that draws your eye to it in the Bible. Maybe it's a verse that brings you encouragement. Maybe it's a verse that tells you something about God. Maybe it's a verse that contains a doctrinal matter. Maybe it's a prophecy. Maybe it's fulfillment of prophecy, as we've done in our Matthew class. Mark your Bibles. I know some people can't stand to see that clean page deterred. Think of it as a cookbook. All right? This may be a bad analogy, but think of it as a cookbook. And those of you that cook and those of you that bake, how many times have you done a recipe from the book and you realize it needed to be altered? And when you alter it, you don't copy it out and put it somewhere else. A lot of times you just mark it out in the cookbook and change it. For me, when I was a chemistry student and we would do projects, in our book it would tell us what to do, and I would adjust the formulas and say, no, it needs a little more magnesium or a little less magnesium or whatever. And I wouldn't change that somewhere else. I'd change it in the book I always worked out of. So that way it was always there. Not telling you to change the Bible, but I'm telling you to make marks. It is a manual. It is how we live. Make marks that draw your eye to certain things. Make marks that help you better understand that when you read through it again, you'll see what you marked and go, wow, I can now see this in a different light. It helps us to focus on the text. Because how many times do we sit down to read or sit down to do something and we get distracted? Making little marks, we can be drawn back. We can have better focus and give better attention. And let me suggest maybe my favorite on the list. Read out loud. This is another way to maintain focus when our attention may drift. Someone once said to me, and I forget who it was, it may be Brother Alan Malone, but I'm picturing him being the one saying it, but then when I hear his voice, I think that's not the voice that said it. You will remember things easier if you say it with your own mouth. You'll remember the Word of God easier if you will speak it out loud for yourself. Because you will recall, just as I'm saying, I'm picturing Him, but the voice I'm recalling is not that voice. You can recall your own voice saying things. And if you'll verbally read the Word of God, you can remember yourself saying it because it crossed your lips. Another example on par with that is rewrite it. One of the things that I always did in school when a test was coming up is I would rewrite the key notes because I had a mind where I could remember myself writing it. And I might remember one word that I wrote and be able to recall that line. Some people are that way. So sometimes you rewrite it that you might can recall it. In the book, Some Thoughts on the Lost Art of Reading Aloud, author Verlin Klinkenborg says, one of the most basic tests of comprehension is to ask someone to read aloud from a book. The same book says, it reveals far more than whether the reader understands the words. It reveals how far into the words and the pattern of the words the reader really sees. if you'll take time to read it out loud, words will naturally fall in certain ways. You'll naturally take pauses in certain places. You'll naturally put emphasis on certain words. And when you read it out loud, you might grab the emphasis out of the text that you might not have just looking at it on the page. Take some time to read it out loud. Jeff Gregory of the World Languages Center, the lab coordinator there, says you increase your opportunity for retention by 100% when you read it out loud. Excuse me. He says when you read silently, you use just two parts of your body, your brain and your eyes. When you read out loud, you use four parts of your body, your brain and your eyes still, but your voice and your ears. You're engaging more of your senses, and so it doubles your retention possibility. You don't only think about the language and see it written, but you hear it and you say it. Spend some time reading out loud. Something we might call a simple suggestion that might give us great potential for comprehension. The Word of God and the words of Jesus are precious gifts indeed. The psalmist says in Psalm 119 and verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto my path." In John chapter 6 and verse 68 says that the words of the Lord are the words of eternal life. Jesus may one day say to us, "Have you never read about the gospel plan of salvation as is recorded in Matthew chapter 28 and Mark chapter 16. As he writes to the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 about the need to remain faithful. Remain faithful unto death and I'll give you the crown of life. Alright, here's the beauty of all those statements of have you not read in Matthew 12, 19, 21, 22, and 23. They all had an opportunity to correct it. If I hear the words, "Have you not read on the day of judgment?" I have no more time to correct it. Have you not read about the Word of God? Let's take the charge that was given to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This will be our last verse. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. "This book shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." As we start this year, and we're talking about our checkup, how well do we read? Are we one who reads sparingly? One who reads selectively? Are we one who reads regularly? And how do we respond to the words we read? We each have to examine that. The Word of the Lord convicts us. It tells it just like it is. We either have to accept it or reject it, and that's all on us. How well do you read the Bible? And how well can we improve on that in this year? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." He that does not believe shall be damned or condemned. Many people say, "See, baptism, it says, if you do not believe, you're condemned. Baptism's not essential." Did you not read? Have you not read the line just before it? "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." You may be here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel. Have you not read what Jesus says to the churches in chapter 2 of Revelation and in verse 10? "Be faithful unto death and I'll give you the crown of life." Requires our faithfulness throughout the rest of our life. You may be here this morning and you're not living faithfully. The Word of God puts it plainly. You have to choose whether to respond to it. If we can help you in any way this morning, we'd love to do so. If you'll come forward now as we stand and as we sing the psalm that's been selected.